Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. And what a blessing it's been just sensing the presence of God in this place, being ministered to through the congregational singing as well as the special music. And then we get to open up the holy word of God, the precious word of God, that which God has recorded for us to know the very mind of a creator God. It's a tremendous blessing once you understand how God designed it all. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'd look with me to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. We're going to begin reading in verse 22 and we'll read down to the end of the chapter in verse 27. Exodus chapter 15. And if you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together if you're able to stand in honor of the Word of God. As I read, you follow right along with me. The Bible says in Exodus 15, verse 22, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, 'If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.' And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters." Amen. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, what a blessing it is to have the health and the opportunity to be assembled together in thy name. What a blessing it is to be able to sense your presence in this place. And Lord, I pray now that as we have opened up the holy word of God that you've preserved for us, and we've read this passage of scripture, and now, Father, we want to have a better understanding of it and even learn that biblical principle and those thoughts that we can apply to our lives today. And so I pray that you would empower the preaching of thy word once again. I ask, God, that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Here we find in verse 22 of Exodus chapter 15 that Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and what a tremendous experience they had there at the Red Sea. They saw God part the waters of the Red Sea, and they went through the Red Sea on dry ground. And then when they got to the other side, we find the Egyptians were chasing them, and God brought the waters back together to drown the Egyptian army. And so we find that that's what they had just experienced in coming from the Red Sea. And they went out into the wilderness of Shur. They went out into the wilderness wanderings, the wilderness experiences are all part of God's plan for the nation of Israel to prepare them to go to the promised land. And so we find here, after they come and they found the water was bitter. But the Bible says this in verse 25, "And Moses cried, he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them." There he proved them. Can I tell you, to prove was something that God did to the children of Israel in the Old Testament. It's something that's just the DNA of God. It's what God continues to do even today in this 21st century. He proves humanity. He, if you will, tests humanity to see, for them to see what they truly believe. Now, God is omniscient. He knows all things. We find that God knows where you're at in your belief in Him. God knows where you're at in your thinking. But He wants you to know where you're at. God already knows, but He wants us to know. So He would prove them with this experience, this first experience at the waters of Marah. It would not be the only time that God would prove them, because it's something that God would continue to do in the life of Israel in preparing them. The wilderness experiences was all about God preparing them to be able to get into the promised land and to live in the promised land as per God's will. The promised land is not symbolic of heaven. As we study the Old Testament, we study these stories, we know that we have some symbolisms that help us to understand how to apply it to our lives. And so the nation of Israel is symbolic of Christianity today. It was the children of God in the Old Testament. They were to represent God to the world in the Old Testament. Christianity is those that have put their faith in Jesus Christ, and we are to represent Christ to the world today. That's what it's all about. And so somewhat the nation of Israel, being the children of God, we as Christians can look to them and learn much in how God dealt with them, because God will deal with us in like manner. And so the promised land was not heaven. The promised land was the will of God for their lives. He had to prepare them for the will of God in their lives. God wants to prepare us for His will for our lives. And in order to prepare us for His will in our lives, we go through proving grounds. Not only would it be Marah, but if you look with me there, Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4. Because right after this, then they're going to be tested and they're going to be proved with what God presents to them as the manna. All through the wilderness, they'll have the manna to test them and to prove them as God provides for them through the manna. If you look at Exodus chapter 16, verse 4, "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day." There was a reason that God would do this. He was proving them. He wanted them to do exactly what He said with what He gave them, "that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not." Wow. Look at chapter 20. Look at Exodus chapter 20. We find this is something that continues. God continues to do in the life of His people. And Exodus chapter 20 and verse 20. Right after He met with them, gave them the Ten Commandments, gave Moses the Ten Commandments to come down to bring it to the people. And verse 20 of chapter 20, He says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that His fear may be before your faces, that you sin not." Everything that they heard on the mountain, the thundering and all the things that they saw, the cloud on the mountain and Moses coming down, all these were God was working in their lives to bring to them the Ten Commandments, but it was God proving them to prepare them. That word prove is a test to validate. A test to validate. John chapter 6, and if I go too fast, we just write it down here. Just listen, I want you to hear, I want you to follow the message here, but write down the scriptures and go home and study them, making sure that what you heard was from the Bible, amen. And so John chapter 6 and verse 5 and 6, the Bible says here, Jesus speaking to Philip, "And when Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Huh. "And this He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do." He was preparing Philip and the rest of the disciples as well to learn from the feeding, for God's ability to feed the multitudes. And so he's preparing him, and he asks him this question to see what Philip would say. But God did this to prove him. A test, if you will. In the book of Psalms, in chapter 17, you'll find this idea throughout the scriptures. And it's important that we learn this, because it's going to be part of your life, whether you like it or not, whether you want to look forward to it or not. If you're saved here this morning, can I tell you that God proving you is a part of Christianity? It's a part of what God does. It's just something that God does, if you will, and it's for our benefit. Over in the book of Psalms in chapter 17, Psalms chapter 17 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress." Tried me. You've tested me. And I'm not going to sin against you. Even go in the midst of these trials, in the midst of these proving, in this proving ground, I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Amen. I believe that was something that Job would have said as well. Over in the book of Psalms, chapter 66. Psalms chapter 66, just laying the foundation here, understanding what he's doing there to the nation of Israel in the wilderness. And the Bible says in Psalms chapter 66 and verse 10, "For thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us as silver is tried, and as gold is tried, so that it would come out pure." Amen. Get rid of the imperfections. A test to validate. I remember in school, one of my best subjects, I didn't have too many of them, but one of my best subjects was math. For some reason, my brain would just, I could tell him the answers. You know, we used to go around and get behind the person in front of you, and they'd have the cards that they would show up, and whoever could be able to answer that math question first would be able to move on to the next one. I moved all around the whole class. I mean, I was just good. That was something. That was the class that I enjoyed. If I could had all classes of math, then I would have had straight A's. As it was, I didn't have, no, I won't go there. But anyway, I enjoyed it because I was good at it. The teacher would give us math tests, and I would look at them. I would be able to just find them. I'd be able to give them the answers, turn them back in. But then he started doing something that I didn't like. He said, "All right, I don't want just the answers. I want to know how you arrived at the answer. I want you to show me on paper how to prove that your answer is correct and it's just not a guess." There's a whole lot more work in it. When you have to prove how you arrived at the right answer, there's a lot more work. I could just look at it and somehow my mind was just, math was my favorite subject because I could look at it and I could give you the answer. But I didn't come to the right answers the same way he wanted me to arrive at the right answers. It was harder for me to learn how to prove that I had the correct answer than it was to just trust in my own thinking to know I had the right answer. Amen. Sometimes we want to just think we have the right answer, even though it might be the wrong answer. If it's not for God proving us, then we could live our whole lives thinking we had the right answer because that's how what we think it is. But God says, "I want you to know how you arrived at that. I want you to be able to prove what you're thinking." Wow. Proving it. A test to validate. After the parting of the Red Sea, Israel would automatically say, whoa, whoa, whoa. How can we not believe in God after what he has just done? How can I not trust in such a tremendous God who's capable of doing what he just did? How could I surrender my will to his will? Things that we need to do in life. Things that God would have us to do in life. And yet, Mara was in the path of God's leading to the promised land of his will. 3 days without water caused them to forget what God did at the Red Sea. Because now it's affected. They're thirsty. I mean, they need water to survive. They were led to water. They saw it afar off. They saw it and they thought, oh, we're going to have water to drink. Isn't this great? I mean, look what God's done. Look at the water. We're going to have water to drink. Only to find that when they got there to the watering hole that it was bitter or poisonous to drink. It was bitter. People didn't know how to respond to that. They even murmured. But they took it to Moses. Praise the Lord that they took it to Moses. Do the right thing when you're faced with difficult times, bitter experiences. We find that Moses prayed, which is exactly what we need to do. And as Moses prayed, then God revealed to him a tree. Now, a lot of people would say, all right, let's find that tree. you lost it. It wasn't about the tree. It was about God giving you a solution. I don't know that there is a tree that you can find to cut down that's going to purify water. That you missed the mark. The mark here is God provided to heal the water, to cleanse the water, to make that bitter water sweet. And then that takes us to verse 25. Cried unto the Lord and showed him a tree, and when he had cast into waters, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance. Now, a lot of times we read this story and we kind of read right over that. Yeah, that's the key. Because that's how he's going to prove them. A statute, a permanent rule established to govern. God will use established rules to establish and to govern, to try us, to prove us. And an ordinance. They come somewhat go hand in hand here. There is a statute and an ordinance, something ordained by deity. This is not man's law. This was not Moses' law. Stop trying to follow a man to get to God. No, follow God to get to God. Amen. Something ordained by deity. So, with this circumstance, after what had taken place, and now the water's made sweet, we find that there he made for them, the people. Why is he making this for the people? To prove them. He made for them a statute and an ordinance. And the reason he made for them a statute and an ordinance was there, he proved them. Verse 26 is what was presented to prove them. And said, now this is how he's proving them. If, see, God never changes his mind. He's the same. How God works in our life will be determined by our decisions made. There's already been a decision made by God. If you do this, this is the consequence. This is what will happen. If you do this, then this will be what happens. So he says, in proving them, he says, you have to understand this. If this is the ordinance, this is, if you will, the covenant that he's making. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes. Now, we're going to come back and look at that. But those are the things he said. If you do this, I will. Condition upon what you do. What God does is condition. It's already designed. It's already planned out. He knows, but you have a free will. And if you do this, then you can mark it down. This is what God's going to do. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am your help in troubled times. So, three things here that he uses to prove Israel, that he uses to prove us. Diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. To do this, we must believe in his existence. I must know there's a voice to be heard. If you don't believe in the existence of God, you're not going to be especially diligently seeking to hear it. And if you don't believe, if you are not diligently seeking to hear the voice of God, if you don't believe that there is a God, that's already something that is proving your lack of belief in God. If you truly believe in God, then you are wanting to receive what God has for us. We want to hear from God. And God wants us to hear from him. Can I tell you that God is real? And he has much for me to learn about him. He wants me to learn about him. That's why he has. Recorded. And preserved. Every word in this Bible. Because Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. He said, this is God. This is what represents him. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus Christ. He was the word. He brought the New Testament scriptures to us. He brought the revelation of God to us. And it's been written down and recorded for us. If I believe in the existence of God, then I will have a desire to diligently hearken, that's to listen, to the voice of the Lord. Ephesians in chapter 3, let me just read this to you. I love what Paul writes to the church of Ephesus, because that's believers there, they needed to understand that it was important to receive what God has recorded for us to learn about him. in Ephesians in chapter 3 and verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints, what is the breadth and height, the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. The more I learn about God, the more I am filled with the fullness of God. The more I understand the Word of God, the more I understand who He is. The more I read and study the Word of God, the more I understand how God is going to work in my life, what God expects out of me. What does it take for me to go to heaven? What does it take for me to have my prayers answered? What does it take for me to draw close to God? What does it take for me to have the peace that passeth all understanding, to have the joy of the Lord in the midst of any and every circumstance? God wants me to know that. And if I believe in Him, then I'm seeking it. I am diligently looking and listening to His voice. Let me ask you a question. Are you faced with something that is getting you to doubt? We all will. That's Mara. They had just left the Red Sea experience. But after 3 days going without water, what have you done for me lately? So we seem to forget past blessings and past evidences when we're faced with waters of Mara, bitter experiences we don't want to have to go through, we don't want to have to face. And sometimes as we face the waters of Mara, the old devil gets in there and tries to work through that and tell you there is no God. If there was a God, why would He bring you out here to the wilderness and then tease you with water only to find it's poison? Are you listening? Do you hear a voice like that? You're facing some bitterness. Do you really believe God? Is there anything that could happen that would cause you not to believe in God? Is there anything that could happen that would come into your life that would cause you to say, there is no voice? There's no God to hearken to. It's all made up. Is there anything? Our faith to believe in God will be tested. The bitter waters of divorce, when you thought you married a Christian spouse. How could God allow that? The bitter waters of loss of finances, especially when you've been tithing, been giving. The bitter waters of losing a loved one. No one wants to face that. Are the blessings that we receive what dictates whether or not there's a God? Someone once says, what are you looking at? Are you looking at the hands or the face of God? Are you looking at what God can do for you, what He can, or are you looking at who He is? If you're making up your mind as whether or not there is a God by what God has brought into your life or what God has taken out of your life, listen to me, you're looking at the wrong things. And all of us will be tested with Marah, waters of Marah, bitter experiences. And some will walk away. They walk away, did they really have faith? Or was their faith dependent upon God's goodness and what they saw as God's goodness? We need to go through the process of proving that we believe in the existence of God. How did you arrive by that? God will take us through some of the proving grounds. He'll take us through some of the experiences so that we will learn what we truly believe or not. Is there something that could happen in your life that would get you to disown and turn away from your belief in a creator God? You know, I base my belief in God upon His Word. I base my belief in God upon test of time. And before all these different things, and I would have said, no way. I faced a lot of things. God does not give us signs to prove Him. But once you believe, then God will give you many signs to know Him. I went through this year, and all of you know this, not too long ago. Health issues. Never thought that I was going to have to die in a hospital room. But in that experience of facing death, my belief in God is unquestionable. Because I was at the doorway and wanted to go in because it's real. I didn't need that, but can I tell you, once I knew, and God knows, my faith was based on the things that He has given to us, that the nature itself, looking at the nature of what God has created, there's an intelligent design, looking to the Bible, looking to the existence of Jesus Christ and the life that He lived on this planet Earth and the New Testament scriptures and what He established as Christianity. And I could go on and on and on to be able to say, this is what proves to me that the existence of God is real. And once you get there, when you go through the waters of Marah, I guarantee you, your faith will even get stronger. Amen. If you keep looking to Him. Keep your eyes on Him. Hearken to the voice. The second thing, they're going to prove them, and I'll go very quickly here, but the second thing, will do that which is right in His sight. The second thing was, we'll continue to keep doing right, to keep doing right, even though we are face to face with a Marah, a very, very bitter experience, a very bitter situation. Do we have faith to trust, even in the midst of a bitter experience? Trust in the midst. How do you know if you trust God in the midst? By keep doing right. Our determination to keep serving, our determination to keep praising, our determination to keep worshiping reveals genuine faith to trust in Him. The most important thing for us to do when we're faced with the bitter waters of Marah, just keep trusting Him in the midst of it. Just keep doing what you know God would have you to do. Just keep serving, keep praising, just keep worshiping. I remember long time ago, before I started playing golf, I used to hunt. And I went on a bow hunting experience and out in Illinois. And they took us back into this remote area, and they just let us off. And they said, the deer is going to be coming through here. You can go out there. He said, just remember, we're going to pick you up on the west side. I was so excited about hunting out there with the deer and everything. I mean, deer all around. It was a very exciting situation. But I got in there not thinking about it. I got lost. And it was an overcast day, and I'm thinking, which way is west? I did have a compass. I'm in nowhere lands, out in these wooded areas everywhere, and I'm thinking, it all looks the same. I remember what he said, I'm going to pick you up on the west side. There's a street running north and south. If I didn't have a compass, I would have never found my way. But I had a compass, and I kept looking at that compass, trusting it to work right. The needle was pointing north, and so I thought, well, I just need to know which way's north, and I can figure out which way's west. It didn't look unfamiliar, didn't know. I knew I needed to keep trusting and what I had to lead me through. And I kept trusting, and I kept going. Before you know it, I started hearing a little traffic. Come out of the woods, and there was the road they said would be there. I waited along the road. They come by, pick me up. So glad that I just, in the midst of proving grounds, kept trusting and kept following in the midst of the proving ground. Hearken to his voice. Hold on to your belief in God. Continue to do right in the midst of facing the bitter waters. Yeah. The last thing, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. His commandments, his statutes. What is that? Yield. Stop trying to come up with your own solutions. No matter how good you might be, you need to learn to prove how you got to where you're at. Just yield. No matter how it turns out, even when it doesn't turn out the way you hoped it would, even though it doesn't turn out the way that you prayed that it would, listen to me, God is God. Amen. And ultimately, he has a purpose and a plan. And I must say, because you are real, because I am trusting in you, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus gave us that example. He gave us that message. He would prove them with these things. He would prove them with this ordinance. He would prove them with their belief, with their trust, and with their surrender. After God proved them, he led them to a place of rest. After he proved them, and they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, 70 palm trees. And listen, this is what it says. And they encamped there by the waters. I know it's tough when you're going through it. I know you can't hardly even see your way through it from time to time. But there is an end. and this too shall pass. If you just keep the faith and you keep on believing what you know to be real as God's voice, and you, at the end of it, yield to His will, there is comfort and there is peace and there is strength by the waters that God would lead you to. Yeah, there's the waters of Marah, but there's also the wells of Elim. God wants us to encamp by the waters of Elim. We have to get through the waters of Marah. They encamped there. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. There's rest on the other side of God's proving us. There's rest on the other side of God proving us as long as you hold on to the truths. Long as you have the right answers. Hold on to your belief in God. It's real. It's true. Hold on to doing right, serving Him, doing whatever it is God would have you to do. It's the best way to make it through it. And ultimately, in the end, yield to His will. Just yield to Him. For if you do all of those things, there's rest on the other side. Father, we bow before you this morning. We do love you, and thank you, Lord, for loving us. And thank you for how you work in your children's lives. Thank you for the testimony we have in the Old Testament of Israel and how you love them unconditionally and you continue to work in their lives, leading them to the right place, the promised land of Canaan. And I pray, God, that we likewise would stay focused on your word and your will and will be led into the will that you have for us. Work now in the midst, bless in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.